ain't the kind to wear a tie. Button up from 9 to 5. I tried that life but said goodbye. Simply unprofessional. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. I cut the intro just a little too quick. Welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, my co-host, Devin. Devin, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm that.
That good, huh?
Yep. All
right.
Just one of those things. This week has not been great. This week's SU, I feel, is not going to be great.
Life After Beth.
I just want to preface this with, Devin, I'm sorry that this was my pick.
Dude, you're fine.
Like, now, we chatted a little bit before we started recording, and I didn't hate this movie. Like, it had its entertaining moments.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like,
not a movie I would go watch again.
Hate it either. Like, that's the thing. Like, I did not hate this movie particularly either.
You just hated every single person in it.
Yeah, I just hated the people that are affiliated with this movie, like, in general.
And this
I don't
movie,
hate the movie. I don't like there is not a single character in the movie that's like, oh yeah, this guy's super relatable and likable. It's like, no, this person's super stupid and I want them to watch them die horribly.
Yeah. This movie did make me hate smooth jazz. I now hate smooth jazz.
You can't hate smooth jazz. It's impossible.
I do.
Smooth jazz. Like, that's what the
not
guy
only,
said in the
not
movie.
Only was He's there like, too much jazz. Smooth jazz in this movie.
You can never have too much smooth jazz.
In a lot of the scenes that it was playing, it was louder than the dialogue happening in the scene.
I mean, that may be true.
And it's just like, anyway, okay,
but
so
back to my original statement. You can't have too much smooth jazz. I think they even said that in the movie.
I mean, you can, and this movie proves it.
Nah.
Now, Devin, when I chose this movie,
for one reason.
And then as I looked into it, I was like, oh, okay, there's more and more people in this movie that I, you know, that I like. I did specifically choose it because it had Aubrey Plaza in it. And I really enjoy Aubrey Plaza. I was a big fan of Parks and Rec. And she was probably my favorite character. And then going through the list, John C. Reilly's in this movie, and I think he's most of the time very funny. Molly Shannon is in this movie.
I think he's funny when he's not with Will Ferrell, but that's the unpopular opinion. I hate him and Will Ferrell together.
All right. Molly Shannon was in this movie, and I really enjoy her. She's very funny to me. Paul Reiser was in this movie from Mad About You.
Well, they got people in the movie.
Anna Kendrick is in this movie. She's easy on the eyes too. So I figured, oh fuck it, you know, this is a zombie movie apparently, and yeah, we'll watch this. This is the one I chose, and I regret it, and I'm sorry I made you watch it, and I'm sorry for any of the listeners out there who decided to watch along with us. Hi, Mom. Because she had some choice things to say about this fucking movie. So yeah, I mean, essentially the movie starts off, you see Aubrey Plaza out for a jog in the mountains, right? And then all of a sudden you see this dude at a funeral who is like her boyfriend. And apparently she's dead. They don't really explain much. At this point, she's just dead. You don't see her have an accident. You don't see her anything that happens to her. She's just dead. this kid is super heartbroken about it, and it gets to the point where he's like awkward. Like, dude, you need to back the fuck off. Like, it was bad. And then he goes over her parents' house constantly, but he goes there one time, and her parents start ducking him, start avoiding him. And essentially, he thinks he sees her in the house, so he starts snooping around, ends up busting into their house and finding that she is, I guess, technically alive for what he thinks is alive. And as you're watching, you know she's a zombie. She doesn't look like a zombie. She doesn't act like a zombie. She can talk and, you know, function. That slowly deteriorates throughout the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they start... He goes from just befuddled to now he thinks the whole death thing was a hoax, to instantly being okay with it, and, you know, them having a relationship again.
Yeah.
Then he finds out, oh, she's a zombie. But she doesn't know she's a zombie. And John C. Reilly, who plays her dad,
like,
doesn't want her
to
know.
She's a zombie. You can never tell her she's a zombie. And it's like, I feel like he probably should tell her she's a zombie. Like, I mean...
Yeah, that kid tried taking the high road. He's like, we should be honest with her. We all see where that went.
But then he was also extremely dickish about it. So it's like, yeah, you're doing the right thing, but I hate you still because you're being extremely dickish about doing the right thing.
He was an ass. Like, he started off like as an all right character.
As a likable character, and then just slowly became an asshole.
I think everybody in this show, with the exception of probably Anna Kendrick and her character, just slowly became an asshole over time.
I mean, none of them were good. None of them. The only redeeming character in the whole freaking movie was his, like, friend. Like, his mom's friend's daughter. Like, she wasn't terrible. That she came in at the end of the movie almost.
Yeah, that was Anna Kendrick's
character. I think she that was the only one.
She played Erica Wexler. Because she had just gotten back into town. So, I don't even know how to really review this movie. So, he takes her out on a date, brings her out for like a drive or whatever, and John C. Reilly's character, who plays Maury Slocum, these goddamn names, kept saying, oh, if you guys want to go for a hike or something, go at night. It's safer at night. Mainly because he doesn't want everybody to see the fact that his daughter is not dead, I was guessing. Well, they go out during the day, and then they come back, and she's got, like, this gnarly, like, burn on the side of her face that just never heals. And it just slowly gets worse and worse. And then she starts developing anger issues. Like, she gets triggered, and, like, every little trigger just sends her into, like, this blind rage. And she, like, kicks down a lifeguard station. She breaks her boyfriend's car window. But the only thing that really seems to calm her down is, like, he keeps promising that they'll go for a hike. And then she just kind of calms down after that. He eventually breaks down and tells her that she's dead, brings her to her grave. Yeah, that didn't go well. I don't remember if that was before or after he ran her over with the car. I thought that scene was kind of funny. I also feel like every single person in that parking lot would have immediately been on the phone with 911. And no one was.
Yeah, no, it was...
Like, they talked about it in the background.
Everybody in that movie is a garbage person, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, they talked about it. Like, so someone should call 911 or someone should call the authorities.
Everyone in that movie is a garbage human being.
True. True statement. In any case, so she ends up flipping out, and then now she doesn't know if she's... Now she thinks she's a zombie, so she starts acting like a zombie. She, like, he goes to her house one night when she's having, like, a nervous breakdown, and she just walks through the glass pane sliding door, and then, like, all of a sudden you see blood squirt on the glass, and then she walks back in covered in blood because she just ate a guy. And she's like, well, I'm a zombie. That's what zombies do. They eat guys. It's like, well, all right. You know, shit. Then we find out this isn't happening to just her. Like, other people are starting to come back to life. And I gotta say, probably the funniest moment in this movie, to me, happened closer to the end. I don't, like, I wish I could tell you as listeners, like, oh yeah, we're not leaving a lot. It might seem like we're leaving a lot out. We're really not.
No, there's
smooth jazz
time in this movie. There's nothing that happens.
Smooth jazz calms the zombies down.
His brother's a psycho. Just like, I just want to shoot people. What?
Yeah, well, okay. That's where the one of the funniest parts came in, to me anyway, was when she was in the doorway, and I think they were getting ready to go for the walk, and she had, like, the stove strapped to her. And he pulled his gun because he got deputized or whatever, and he was clearing up the streets. And he was going to go shoot her, and, you know, the brother... Zach was like, no, don't. And then all of a sudden, this little old lady in the middle of the street's like, excuse me. And he just turns around and blows her head off. Like, there was nothing that even remotely looked like
when
she was
I
a
tell
zombie.
You, when I tell you, there was nobody in this movie who was remotely redeemable as a human being.
Not true. I mean, the one person. The Erica Wexler.
She was even barely a human being, but she was barely a person, but, you know, okay. I'll give it to you for now.
Yeah. In any case, like, they end up... I don't want to give away the ending, really. But they end up realizing that this was kind of a short-lived stint of, like, that happened across, I want to say, like, the entire state, or maybe it was even localized to this area, and people just rose from the dead and then were put down or died off, and it happened over the course of, like, a weekend or some stupid shit. It wasn't very long. And then it just kind of, the news guy at the end was just like, yeah, well, that was a string of crazy ass events. I'm glad we're over that. And then that was the end of the news story.
Yeah. Like, this movie is
like, I can, movie, man. I don't even, like, I don't know. Like, I guess I can kind of see this from, like, this movie reminded me of, like, if college students made a movie to submit to a film festival.
Yeah.
It wasn't extremely high budget. And, I mean, there were a lot of, you know, high-named people in it, so to speak. But it was not a high-budget movie.
Not at all.
And it had its entertaining moments, like... But it was more so I was watching it and it was just like, wow, I don't like this movie. Maybe it gets better. Nope. Maybe it gets better 10 minutes from now. It's like that never-ending hope of maybe the movie does redeem itself somehow, but then it just never does.
Yep, pretty much.
And that's honestly... That's essentially the review of Life After Beth. Devin, we've literally been talking for 15 minutes. Yeah, I don't know how we're supposed to... Devin, listen, me and you, we've done a lot of SUs together, okay? And we've had conversations where I felt like I was nervous going into an SU recording, thinking that we would not be able to cover the, you know, at least a 45 minute to an hour period of time talking about this subject.
I know, I agree.
This one is so far the hardest one because we've literally covered it without giving away the actual ending to it. But
I mean, we can just give away the actual ending. Spoiler alert, people. He fucking shoots his girl in the head.
Yeah. And then hooks up with Anna Kendrick's character in the back of his mom's car, asks her out on a date to go get food after leaving flowers and a chess piece on his ex-girlfriend's / ex-girlfriend's dad's tomb.
Yeah. And then at one point in the movie, like God, he's stupid. That was before he figured out she was a zombie. Like when she was climbing out of the window. Like when he was there after or before?
Which part?
When he was climbing, when he was taking her to the beach.
Oh, that was before he found out she was a zombie.
Yeah. He's taking her to the beach and she falls off the fucking roof and like slams her head in a brick. Yeah. He's just like, "Oh, you okay?" She's like, "Yeah, I'm fine." I'm like, "No.
No,
nobody would be that fine, but okay."
I you know, and like, there's things that they didn't explain. Like, I guess you didn't have to because not a lot of thought went into the writing of this movie, but apparently, like, all the zombies that came back had a thing with attics. They wanted to be in the attic, and they tried to turn all the walls into mud and dirt. I guess it's to symbolize being buried and entombed somewhere, but why an attic, not a basement? They never explain any of this.
You know,
they never explain what brought her back to begin with. I mean, they kind of hint at the fact that she died to a snake bite.
Yeah, no, they did. That's what it was. It was a snake bite. And they kind of had an idea that the Haitian lady brought her back, and they were just like, that got shot down real quick. And what did your mom have to say about the movie?
Here, let me pull up my messages with my mom. Okay, so she says, "Man, life after Beth is boring and kind of lame so far. And okay, just finished it. Quote unquote, super stupid lame movie. Now I really hope you have to watch The Hills Have Eyes." Well, sorry to tell you, Mom, the only way we have to watch The Hills Have Eyes is if we can't find a copy of the other movies to watch.
I mean, I honestly, I almost feel like we should watch it to make up for this one.
No.
This movie was ugly.
I'll say this. The Hills Have Eyes, I never finished. I couldn't finish. I walked out of the theater. I have not watched it since. This movie, I at least finished. Was it a good movie? No, not really. Was it a horrible movie?
Why did you walk out of The Hills Have Eyes?
It was physically disgusting to me. There was the one trailer scene that I just physically could not sit through.
Fair.
So I up and walked out. And I have no desire to ever see that movie again. So, but as far as this movie, like some of the other reviews that we do, Devin.
Yup.
If you had to rate this movie on a scale from 1 to 10, where would
I have to rate this movie on a scale of, you said 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
Like a 3.5, maybe?
All right, I feel like you're being generous on that one, but sure.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's just not good. It's one of those movies, man.
You know what? I'll be right there with you with the 3.5. No, I was going to go pitch. I was going to pitch probably like 2.5 to 3 stars, but I'll give it that extra half a star for the cast. they had decent people in the cast. They just didn't do well in the movie.
They didn't do anything with the people that exactly. were in the cast.
Okay, and the second question that we always have to ask each other, would you recommend this movie to other, any to other people?
No.
Yeah, I don't think I could either.
Not at all. Not even a little bit.
You know, and I'd want to, too. Why? I don't even think I could, I don't even think I could recommend this movie to other people like that I'm mad at.
Like, why, I'm like, why would you want to recommend this movie to anybody? Like, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Zombies.
It's just boring. Like, I mean, it's, like,
that's really what it boiled down to. It was just kind of boring. Like,
nobody's going to sit through the movie. Like, that's the problem. Nobody's going to really sit through the movie and be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. Like,
there was the one scene towards the end where the brother just randomly shot the old lady that was out of nowhere.
But at the end of the day, Terrifier was at least
that movie. It kept you.
It kept you enthralled. See, you say it sucked, but it was the perfect grindhouse movie. That's what it was, a grindhouse.
I guess
film.
I just don't care for that type of horror. I guess.
Yeah, it was just like a low budget in your face grindhousey kind of film.
You know what I should have fucking voted for us to watch, and everybody.
I kind of wonder if you kept your original one, the Clown Twister.
No, Clownado.
Clownado. You should have kept Clownado.
I. Everybody who knows me knows that I'm not a huge horror movie fan. This is technically a horror movie. It's a B-rated horror movie, and it's one of my favorites. But I should have probably pitched for us to watch Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I would have had far more enjoyment watching that.
It's a solid movie.
So, Clownado. Oh, man. I don't... All right, so... Let's fill a little of this dead air. Can you give me we have to do our picks back to back, right? So next week's review is going to be Dave Made a Maze. Can you give us and the listeners just a synopsis? Like, if you were to pick up the VHS tape of this back in a Blockbuster and read the back of this movie.
Yes, I can, as a matter of fact, sir.
To see what the listeners out there who want to go watch this with us, what they're going to be in for. Also, did we establish, is that on YouTube? Is that where we're watching that one? Or
it's on Hulu. If people out there want to watch it with Hulu, it's on Hulu.
I don't have Hulu.
If you want to watch it, it's other places too. I think it's on Amazon Prime, I think. I'll tell you where it is in 2 seconds.
All right.
But if I would, you want a synopsis of Dave Made a Maze, I can give you a synopsis of Dave Made a Maze. Plot summary of Dave Made a Maze. Dave, an artist who has yet to complete anything significant in his career, builds a fort in his living room out of pure frustration, only to wind up trapped by the fantastical pitfalls, booby traps, and critters of his own creation.
All right. You had me sold when you told me there was like a Minotaur in it.
I mean, yeah.
So. Well, I mean, shit. I really feel like I dropped the ball on this one this week.
That's fine. I mean, you didn't drop the ball. This is what it is. Like, I mean, shit.
You know, we should have thought about this ahead of time too. Last year I felt like there was one or two movies that I wasn't sure we'd be able to talk about for, you know, an hour. So we lumped them together into their review.
I mean, to be fair, when we saw the movie, we both probably could have sat down and had this conversation with ourselves and said, yeah, we probably don't need to do this to us here.
Yeah, well.
But, I mean, it's what it is. Like, it's Dave Made a Maze is, while not boring, is not much of a horror. It's not really much of a horror movie. It's more of a horror comedy. This was supposed to be a horror comedy movie. It turned out to be like a comedy for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I want to know how the hell this happened. It has 5.6 out of 10 stars on IMDb.
I don't get that either. I really don't get that.
It must just be star power.
I mean, sure. Like, that's it. It's another movie. I mean, we can make it up to the people.
Hold on. I want to.
We can make it up to the people.
Reviews. Oh, God, that's a really long review. All right. An interesting horror comedy with some new spins on the subgenre. Oh god, this one's long too. Why do everybody? Why can't you just have like one sentence reviews, people? The trailer for Life After Beth had me so excited. The cast alone was a treat. Dan DeHaan, okay. John C. Reilly, Molly Shannon, Paul Reiser, Matthew Gregg, Gubler. And Aubrey Plaza. For any offbeat comedy, that's a can't miss. Even better for me was the film they were all in, a horror comedy. The trailer came off kind of like a rom-zom-com. Ugh, I hate that term already. In the vein of Shaun of the Dead. Oh, do not compare it to that.
Yeah, that's a rough comparison.
I was all on board. It took me forever to come across the film, but it didn't play out like I thought it would be. DeHaan stars as Zach, the ex-boyfriend of a title character, Beth, played by Plaza, who is going through a rough time. Right before Beth's death, she dumped him. He's not taking it well. His whole wardrobe is heaped in black. He's avoiding his parents. Alienated by his, I don't understand that. That's just bad grammar. Something about his brother. He finds solace in Beth's parents, played by John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon, who actually treat him more like a son than his own parents. But when they stop contacting him, he goes to the extremes, borderline stalking, to find out why. He comes to find out they've been hiding Beth. She's not dead, but she's not alive either. Here's where they start falling off for me, Devin. Get this, okay? What follows is some hilarity, but mostly teenage angst, and a weird zombie apocalypse. The film is more of a teenage drama comedy with light sprinkles of horror. Where's
drama? There is no drama in this. What are you talking about?
There's no horror either.
There's no drama. How old is this person? Like 5?
Hold on. It seems that everyone isn't in on the gag. For the most part, everyone plays it straight. DeHaan the most, but he, like the audience, is just trying to adjust to this very odd situation. It works well for him when craziness does ensue. His reactions are natural. He's just trying to make the best of a very new situation, and he gives off that he truly loves Beth. The best comedic moments are given to Reilly and Shannon, who are overjoyed that their daughter has returned from the grave, and they will do anything to keep that from getting out. Reilly has some great one-liners, especially when pitted against the straight act of DeHaan. Sadly, 20 minutes before the film ends, something happens with his character off-screen, and it just seems like the film loses what comedic edge it has. I felt like Reiser and Hines were kind of wasted. Their one standout moment is a nice play on the dead returning to where they used to live. Plaza downplays her normal snarky character. The best moments are when she goes full zombie. She gets a chance to channel her main character trait into something, some primal violence. The film isn't as funny or as gory as I had expected. Thinking about a Zom rom-com, now they're using two different versions of that same. I hate it. I thought maybe there would be a bit more gore and humor, but it's mostly played as people just trying to deal with the unexplained situation. Felt like a drama more than anything, but there are some nice plays on the zombie genre. I guess I overhyped myself because the film I wanted wasn't the film I got. For any fan of the genre, that tweaks in the zombie myths are cool. Dahan, Riley, and Shannon hold the film together, each getting a good laugh out loud moment. 5 stars.
No.
Everybody wrote like fucking paragraphs for this fucking review.
You're all wrong. If it's over to like 3 stars, you're just wrong.
Oh, this guy wrote 2. He gave 2 out of 10 stars.
There you go. That guy has a head on his shoulders.
Let's see what he has to say. Just to save you the trouble, this movie is absolute garbage. Not scary, not comedic, nothing. It's about a girl.
There you go, that holds him.
It's about a girl that comes back from the dead, and then she isn't the same girl. That's it. Basically, around the 60-minute mark, I was extremely bored, and the only reason that I didn't go back home is because I was watching this with my family, and it wouldn't have been, and it would have been inappropriate to leave them. Fucking hell.
I'm with that. I agree.
There. I didn't give this a 1 because I have seen much more boring and crappy movies. So a 2 is good enough. The acting was decent, but not as great as my expectations were. If I were you, I would much rather buy some ice cream instead of the ticket price. This was less boring compared to a documentary about how snakes live. Save yourself money and boredom and don't watch this. All right. Oh my God. All right, Devin, did you secretly write this review?
Maybe. Don't question me. You don't know my life.
Oh, if you're talking, I can't hear. Oh, I might have turned you down. Yep, I think I turned you down.
I said, don't question me. You don't know my life.
Well, that means I haven't read it yet, but this this person put 10 out of 10, loved it. I have no idea how the ratings aren't higher. Dane DeHaan is amazing as always. The comedy is dry and quirky. It definitely fits the dark comedy genre. A ridiculous, sweet, and surprising zombie movie. Sounds exactly what Devin would write.
Why do they talk like this? That's terrible.
Man. And then there's Undead on Arrival, Bored to Death, Rather Dead Than Alive. Has had potential, but ... These are all just how the reviews are listed.
Oh yeah, no, it's fucking rough. Like, it's a rough movie. Not even gonna lie.
I don't understand this guy. So this guy broke it down into like rating different aspects of the movie. So he gave actors 7 out of 10. All right, I can kind of get behind that because there's a lot of well-known actors in this show. I probably would have given it maybe like a 6 out of 10 as far as the actors go.
I mean, fair.
Plot slash script, he gave 7 out of 10. What? There, I mean, a child could have come up with a better script than this. Photography slash visual style, 7 out of 10. If they were going for that film festival look, I think they pulled it off. Because to me, I think that's kind of what it was.
The question is, does anyone ever really go?
I know some people who do.
Film festival look? Like, is that a thing?
Yeah, sadly. Music score, 7 out of 10. Go fuck yourself. Okay, the whole music was just nothing but smooth jazz the whole time, and it sucked. And then overall, he gave 7 out of 10. I want to kind of write a review about this and be like, and give like a breakdown like this guy did and be like, oh yeah, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, you know, 8 out of 10, blah, blah, blah. And then when it's over, I'll be like, 1 out of 10. This movie was hot garbage when you stirred all that shit in the mixing pot.
I mean, you're not wrong. The movie is pretty hot garbage.
Man. So yeah, listeners, for all of you who went out there and watched it on Netflix with us, I'm sorry. So, forgive
me. You don't have to apologize. Don't apologize. It's not your fault. It's your fault for having shitty movies.
I guess. Yeah, next week hopefully is going to be better. Devin, did you ever tell us where we could actually, where listeners could watch? Oh, you said Hulu. For Dave Made a Maze.
Hulu is, I'm checking to see if it's on Hulu. I think they may have taken it off Hulu, but I'm pretty sure we can find it online.
I was going to say, I do not have Hulu, so me and you are going to have to talk after the recording so I can at least find out where I'm going to watch it.
Or, because I do have a backup in case Dave Made a Maze, it wasn't going to be one I wanted to go with, depending on what you wanted to go with. Okay. But we could do that instead.
Well, no, now I'm excited to watch Dave Made a Maze.
Yeah.
So.
How do I want to play this out?
But, I mean, sadly, I think that's going to be it for this week. I mean, we haven't gone an hour, but there's really nothing else that we can talk about this movie, at least. The other movies on this list, I don't have that list in front of me. Hold on. I know two of them were Ross, or I know one of them was at least Ross's pick. Do you have a list of what we're supposed to be watching? Next week's Dave Made a Maze. But then, what are the other movies, Devin?
I have, I can pull it up in a second.
It's good because I can't find my list. I lost my sticky note. Two,
you can find Dave online.
You heard that, everybody. If you can't find Dave Made a Maze, contact Devin.
No. Dead Silence is after that, then Castle Freak.
Okay. I don't know anything about either one of those, so that's fine. Well, we have a Halloween stream. When's that going to be? I think that's the October 26th, if I'm not mistaken. If I am, I'm sorry. This is put on by Mr. Rob Edquist every year. Starts at noon Eastern, and it goes until, I think it's like 1 Eastern. He does something weird. He does like 13 hours because 13 spookier or something like that. So it's a 13-hour live stream. We're all going to be playing some video games. It's all horror-themed. I'm going to be running a Vampire the Masquerade one-shot. There's Dead by Daylight, I think, is usually one of them. I know Pacify is the last one on the list to play. which is great. It's a fantastic game to play at 1 o'clock in the morning or midnight.
It's 1, I think.
So, yeah, follow us out. I think that's going to be on the Distractions Media Twitch account. So just go look up that, and you can come watch us play all these horror scary games on the 26th. So, Devin, as we log out, do you have a moment of zen or any type of words of wisdom?
Yep, I do.
All right.
My word of wisdom for this week?
Pizza.
Don't watch Life Without Beth.
Well, fair. Fair point. If you already have, sorry. If you haven't,
you already have. Don't. Go watch Hereditary. Go watch Hereditary. If you already have, at least you'll feel better.
Yeah. All right, Devin. Where can people find you on the interwebs?
You guys can find me on Twitter at DMP_Pookie, on Twitch at Pook Killed Me, on eBay at Life Without Beth.
Oh.
And you also can find me on IMDb, just writing angry reviews.
Nice. And as always, everybody, you guys can follow me on Twitter at Jax Forest Walker, all one word, on Twitch at DM Webby, on Instagram at Patrick.Webster52, on eBay at Life After Devin. That's right, we're writing a sequel, Devin, just me and you. I play an angry puppy in this movie, I guess.
Yeah. We made this movie when we were waiting for the stuff to show the episode. We made the movie in like 5 minutes, is probably a better script than Life After Beth.
So. I will tell you, one of last year's SUs is we wrote a horror movie, and I think it has a better script than Life After Beth.
Oh, it definitely does. It definitely does.
So, as always, everybody, thank you for listening. Try to get us to Russia.
Just try. I mean,
if
you don't pull it off, I understand.
Yeah, we get it. Bonus points if you can get it downloaded by like a Russian bear. That'd be sweet. I don't even know if they know how to use phones. They always amaze me over there. And because of Devin, the conversation that you and I had earlier in the month, maybe late last month, as always, everybody, fuck Booster Gold. But also, Devin?
Fuck Dan Cook.
Yep. Thank you.
I just like to think that Dan Cook's one of our listeners.
He's like, what the fuck did I do? Dan Cook, if you're listening, we will gladly have you on SU so you can we can understand, or we can make you understand why we're saying these things.
Yep, and then we're not going to title the episode that you're on, and then we're just going to tell Donnie to go listen to this episode. Like, it's very important.
Yeah, and Austin.
He's going to be like, you guys didn't have me on with Dan Cook right there? And I'd be like,
nope.
You abandoned us for Dan Cook, we abandoned you with Dan Cook.
I like to think that if we ever get anyone famous, I'm not going to tell anyone that we did, and it's just going to be me and you talking to some famous person and then ending the episode.
Yep.
And we are... Go.